to another Music Raygun mini episode. I'm Paul.
I am Kirk.
Hey, Kirk, how are you doing?
Rumor has it I have a wreck.
Oh, I haven't heard the rumor.
How do rumors get started?
I don't know.
Started by jealous people.
Where did you hear the rumor?
From me.
Oh, okay.
I talk to myself a lot.
So this is a rumor that one person knows about.
Yes, exactly.
But now I know about it.
So now two people
know. I'll tell two friends, and then they'll tell two friends, and so on, and so on.
I have a pod wreck for a different pod, which normally, you know...
Nope, sorry. You should have told me that before we started recording. I gotta squash it. I gotta squash it.
You're gonna change your mind when I tell you the host is Dave Holmes.
Music. Oh. I do like Dave Holmes.
Yeah.
Oh, is this the one he did about the boy band from a couple years ago?
No, this is a new one.
Oh, okay.
It is Who Killed the Video Star? Mm-hmm. A narrative telling about MTV.
Oh.
And each episode is
biting the hand that fed him.
Well, I think it's not from MTV. It's it's from another bigger podcast chain thing. Sure. Sure. But, and it's interviews, and it's not him in studio, it's basically him telling the story, and then it cuts to interviews, and blah, blah, blah. And it's great, mainly because Dave Holmes is great.
Yeah.
But a lot of interesting stuff. I'm on the fourth episode. Couple of fun things we could talk about. Stuff that I didn't know, stuff that's confirmed our beliefs.
Well, back up. Is this the entire history of MTV, or the story of his time at MTV?
Story of MTV.
Okay, so 81 to whatever it is now.
Whatever it ends. I'm now on, they're in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And confirmed, way too much Rod Stewart in the beginning. Dave Holmes even comments on it.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, there was a lot of Rod Stewart, and I like Rod Stewart, and it was all that was available. So that's why there was
that what it was? Like, is what they had the rights to show?
It's what they had the rights to show, and who had videos.
Right.
That's why all the British, they used all the British ones, because the British people were using...
Limited library.
Yeah, and then they were like, yeah, the Americans weren't doing videos, and if they were, it was like Boston and Styx.
Right.
And it was just performance videos. But some of the interesting stuff was, early on, they go... they're talking to the record companies and they go, yeah, so you pay for the music videos, give it to us for free, mm-hmm. and then we'll play it. And almost all of them are like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy's like, there's no way I'm paying for music videos, giving it to you for free. And so MTV was like, just going to die. And the idea,
the business model being like, you give them to us for free, but we're giving you free promotion.
Yes.
Right? These are basically commercials for your records.
And no one understood that until one of the MTV execs went into the middle of the country and went to record stores and was like, oh, what's ticking up that's unusual? And it was all the bands that were on MTV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it is free promotion.
It's free
promotion. How does no one understand that?
Exactly. Because executives are fucking dumb. You and I even work in an industry where executives are fucking dumb.
Yeah.
And they're no different. So I was like, oh, they literally had to prove, see the chart?
Yeah.
And there's, money going up. Yeah. And they're like, oh.
All they hear is, we need you to spend money initially.
Yes.
No, fuck you.
Fuck you. But the thing I did want to talk about, because we've talked about before, and it's music adjacent,
mm-hmm.
is because I just finished it today on my commute, The Real World.
Oh, okay. They're already talking about it on this podcast?
They talked about it, and they talked to specifically Eric Nice,
mm-hmm.
Melissa from New Orleans.
Still have never seen New Orleans.
Oh, it's good. And then one I never saw, because it was much later, someone from Sarah from Brooklyn or something? Someone from Brooklyn? Brooklyn in later Brooklyn?
Yeah, I think I watched Brooklyn, but I don't remember the individuals. Yeah.
And that basically they all can basically go, yeah, we're damaged from it. Yeah. We rose above it. We've gotten better. But it would be great if we had had therapy, because it fucked us up.
Yeah.
Which was really fascinating. And then Eric Nies was saying he was fascinated because he was like, yeah, back in the day, no one knew what this was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't performing for the video, the cameras. We were just doing stuff.
Yeah. It was much more documentary stuff.
Yeah. And then he's like, yeah, at some points we weren't even in the house.
Mm-hmm.
We were just out in New York. And so the house was empty and they couldn't record anything. So they would page us.
Yeah.
They're like, you got to come to the house. We got to do some shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really interesting that they literally had to be like, guys.
Yeah, at a certain point, Kevin just like moved back to into his own place and just like wasn't there.
And they're like, okay, we're now they're like, no, you're fucking locked in.
Yeah, you're, yes. It's like almost, it might as well be Big Brother.
Yeah.
Like, you're inside.
You're in, you'll go out when we say go out.
Right.
And but like, they were like, yeah, sometimes they couldn't film because we were gone.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I didn't know, which I was like, oh my God, Eric, before he got The Real World, got Club MTV. Because Downtown Julie Brown was leaving, and they're like, well, we need a new host.
Yeah.
And they saw him in like some modeling catalog, some big thing, and they're like, you, you're it. And then they went, nope, we're canceling Club MTV, but why don't you audition for this Real World show?
Right.
And he's like, okay. Audition blew up and they're like, hey, you know what? You're a big star now. We're bringing Club MTV back and calling it The Grind.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I thought because of Real World, they're like, we need to do a show with him.
Yeah.
But
it was the opposite.
It was the opposite.
Yeah.
But real, it's highly recommend, highly entertaining.
Yeah. And, you know, Dave Holmes did that podcast about The Real World with Mike Doty.
Yeah.
Which I don't like soul coughing, but Mike Doty was interesting.
He was fun.
The two of them.
And then they just stopped.
Well, the show that was on Paramount Plus stopped.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Not only did it end, but they took it off the platform. Like, you can't even watch it. The reunion season.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that they were doing that?
They took it off?
Yeah, you can't even watch it anymore.
That's
one of those
bullshit
shows that they canceled and then made disappear.
Well,
which is especially odd because they like relaunched Paramount Plus with that as like one of their flagship originals.
We watched it and talked about it.
They did New York, they did Los Angeles, then they skipped ahead and did New Orleans,
which
I didn't watch because I hadn't watched it in the first place.
Yep.
And then it just ended.
That's a shame too. Funny thing about New Orleans, because Dave Holmes, like in the middle of the pod, he was like telling the story. He's like, so as of this recording right now, the New Orleans season of The Real World is on Netflix. You can watch it.
Yeah.
And everyone on that show gets paid nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's just free money for MTV and like fucking.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they're all like damaged. Like, even like Melissa was like, hey, fame is good, but fame without money's terrible.
Yeah. And also, is fame good?
Not really, because she's like, it was fun, and it's great when people recognize you, but like, we're not making any money off of this, so like, it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's very telling.
I mean, early on, a lot of them got opportunities, and there are people who are still in the public eye, like Jamie Chung is an actor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Judd Winnick is like a really...
The cartoonist guy.
Oh, yeah, but he ended up working for, like, Marvel in DC. He's written comics.
Really?
Like, major comics and wrote major storylines for years.
Big
he's
enough.
Big in the comics world. He actually made it.
That's a
great... And he's still married to Pam.
Who's delightful.
What
a great win for him.
Yeah.
He's like, I got married. I didn't get all that real fame. I'm doing what I love.
Yeah. I wonder if they're the only couple, like, long-term couple who came out of the show. They're like the Boston Rob and Amber of the real world.
Nice
like,
ball.
They met on the show and literally, and now 30 years later, they're still together. They've got adult kids.
That's crazy.
Whose identities they don't reveal. They're like, yeah, we're not going to tell you
our
kids' names. I like it when celebrities do that.
Adult kids that cover old. Shit, that's crazy. But yeah, and they were just like, oh yeah, and there's more real worlds coming, and then there's spinoffs, and they're all, it will never stop.
Oh, is it? I mean, they haven't had it for years.
I guess he was referring to that because of Real World, there's the road rules and the challenge.
Oh, well, yeah. The challenge, I don't even know if it had, like...
It's still on.
Oh, yeah, and it's still popular, but at a certain point, not to get off on a tangent, but like the challenge originally was the Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Yeah.
And it was the casts of each show competing with each other in
right.
the games. And then at a certain point, they started doing... what they called fresh meat seasons.
That's right.
Where it was fans versus favorites, where they just cast randos to play against the popular people. And even that was like 20 years ago.
Wow.
And now The Challenge is a show that just stars reality TV stars from all shows and all
networks. Anything.
Yeah, like a lot of Survivors are on the Challenge now. And it's really not connected to... It's not on MTV. It's just, it's sort of, there are certain players who have been doing it since the beginning who are still like icons of it and still participate in
they
seasons.
They talked about that.
Yeah.
Johnny Bananas.
CT from like the Paris season.
From Paris, I remember him.
Yeah. But so
there's a guy named Johnny Bananas. Dave Holmes was like, that challenge is like its 39th season, and Johnny Bananas has done almost 24 of them.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Some of them are getting up there in age, just like, you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah, man. Listen, protect your knees.
Yeah. But then again, you know, a lot of old people have done Survivor and done
that. That's true, too.
But yeah, Dave Holmes is maybe the best VJ slash host of all of MTV's history.
I'd be hard to argue that.
Yeah. I mean, in his, he's like the right median, the midpoint between some of the more iconic VJs and like the knowledgeable music nerd of Matt Pinfield, right?
Yes.
He's like Matt Pinfield plus Mark, what's his name?
Mark Goodman.
Mark Goodman.
Yeah, I can see
that. Something like that. But he's just really smart.
Very smart. And a fan, like happy to be on it, loves to talk about it, isn't bitter about shit.
Yeah.
He's great.
And that's real good from the runner-up of Wannabe a VJ.
Yeah, the guy who didn't make it.
Jesse Camp? Where the hell is that guy?
I remember when he won, we were all like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I think even Dave Holmes was kind of like, okay.
Oh, well, yeah.
Sure, that's fine.
MTV is like, well, this guy won, and the prize was he gets a contract to be a VJ for a year.
Yeah.
So we're going to give him a show that's on at lunchtime on weekdays called Lunch with Jesse, and that fulfills the contract. And then Dave Holmes, the runner-up, we're going to actually hire
you. We're
going
to put him in a bunch of different things.
Yeah. As a real employee to, like, be a...
To be talented, a real talent.
Competent person.
Yeah,
and that's
and
not
what he
just
did.
A freak show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the shows, I mean, aside from the nostalgia, there's just real interesting, like, you know, it's just like spitting toothpicks and they put it together and they made it last. And
All those cable shows you realize, it was a bunch of like 20 somethings with no money.
Yes. Yes. And the execs were like in their 20s. They're like, well, just go do it. Just like, we need something.
Just everything's guerrilla style.
Yeah. We don't have time. Just go do it.
Yeah.
And then now, you know, again, it's the long argument of like, they don't play music on MTV. Which is
the music videos never made money.
Yeah.
You know, once they started doing original programming, even in the 80s with like remote control and stuff, did they talk about?
Yeah. They're like remote control and
Just Say
MTV.
Julie.
Yeah. And they didn't say Just Say Julie. Club MTV. And they were like, those made money.
Yeah.
And like, this is common knowledge too. They were trying to make a teen soap opera for in the 90s. And then they're like, we can't afford it. And then so the producers go, what if it's documentary style? And they're like, let's do it. And that became The Real World.
Yeah.
Had they been able to afford a real teen soap opera,
it would have been a drama that no one remembers.
No one remembers. And there never would have been a Real World.
Yeah.
Because they only did it because they couldn't afford a soap opera.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta listen to that.
It's a good listen. They're short. They're like 40 minute long.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of stuff you already know, but a lot of stuff you're like, oh, it's just good to hear Dave Holmes speak.
Yeah. And just to address what you said at the top of this segment, like, MTV isn't music adjacent. Even if we're talking about The Real World, that is totally music right now.
100%.
I will always talk about The Real World.
Yep. I mean, he even said it too, is like they specifically put in music of each year time period.
Yeah.
So it could be branded as MTV.
Right.
And so that's why they have it.
And also, like, that argument has never held water for me. If it stayed just 24 hours of just music videos, that's just going to lose its appeal over time. You don't care. And I think it's maybe one of those things where the nostalgia makes you remember it as a higher quality than it was.
Yeah.
Like SNL, it's like everyone thinks the era they grew up watching was
the best one.
Like,
yeah.
It's always mid.
Yeah.
MTV, I think maybe even in the early 90s, was pretty mid.
There,
but,
I mean, there were
you
moments.
Know, when you're 13 or in your case...
When you're early 20s, I'm still on. I'm still in.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a... You know, you grow up with it. It stays important to you.
Yes. Although it's hard to imagine, like... Well, even no one... Like, my kids never even thought of watching MTV. But just the idea of, like... Yeah. MTV now, they even said it, and I'm not exaggerating the hours. I'm just not getting it right. They've said for a year, they... Ridiculousness... just re-signed with MTV.
Yeah, that's the Rob Dyrdek, yeah, right?
Which is like, it's like a nothing show. It's just like showing clips of social media shit.
Yeah, and he's been on MTV for 20 years. Yeah. Like, Robin Big is almost 20 years ago where that started.
And so they re-upped for like 2,000 hours of ridiculousness for the year. And you're just like, okay, that's
what someone's watching it.
Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, MTV evolved, or you could say devolved, to a point where like its target audience and its actual audience is like tween girls as opposed to like teen boys and girls to 20, like early 20 something boys and girls. So it's a different thing, but I'm sure there are adults now who were watching MTV in the mid-2000s who were like, that's when it was great.
That's when it mattered. That's when it mattered. Yeah,
when before Ridiculousness, I remember when it was Robin Big. Yeah, R.I.P. Big Time.
Like, yeah, that's when then he sold out.
Yeah.
But like, that, it's...
Or My Super Sweet 16. Like, I grew up on that show.
That was the real MTV.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's really interesting because you're spot on, because they even said, some execs said, yeah, we weren't trying to like grow with our audience. We were trying to just continually hit teenagers at every generation.
Yeah.
We're not growing old. We want to keep it the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody grows out of MTV, and you can't be mad at it for not staying with you.
It's exactly.
You're supposed to grow out of it.
Exactly.
Go watch VH1 now, 30-something.
I can't even watch VH1 because it's all... Actually, I don't even know what it is.
I don't even know. Does it even exist?
Housewives things or... I don't know.
I don't know. The last time I keyed into VH1 was, again, 20 years ago in their Celebreality era.
Like Surreal Life?
Yeah, and it started with the Surreal Life, and that spun off into
Flavor of Love.
And then that had its spinoffs, I Love New York, and that spinoff, so A Real Chance of Love.
Oh my God.
R.I.P. Real. And then that spinoff's I Love Money. They had a show just called I Love Money, where it was more of a game show style, or like the challenge style, with the contestants from those dating shows competing for cash.
Oh, Jesus.
So it knew what it was. It was self-aware. And other shows like, what was the weight loss one?
Celebrity Fit Club. Yep.
That stuff. I watched all that shit.
Did you watch the Bret Michaels one?
I didn't. Not because I was opposed to it, but I was just like, that's when I started to kind of get sick of the whole
thing. Yeah, you kind of grow out of it.
I mean, not because I thought it was good in the first place, but it was very self-aware trash.
Yeah.
And I appreciate reality television that doesn't try to pose that it's more important than it is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I would never watch The Real Housewives.
Yeah, I've never seen.
But I liked those trashy.
But you're a confirmed Bachelorette fan.
No, I've never seen. I've never even watched that show.
Bachelor?
No.
Oh, it's just Survivor then.
Survivor, yeah.
Okay.
Those are different shows, you know.
Are they?
I watched one season premiere. This is our reality TV podcast.
Yeah.
I watched one season premiere of The Bachelor with our friend Whitney.
That's what I thought. And I thought
she tried to get me into it.
You weren't having it.
And it was super boring. And it was a 2-hour episode, which I thought was because it was the season premiere. And then she informed me that there are 3 episodes a week and they're all 2 hours. And I was like, no, absolutely not.
You're like, I'm out. You can't make me. I'm going.
No, because that show, again, it's not trashy enough for me to like it. Mm-hmm. It's too mid and too boring. But anyway, MTV's, I'm not going to say MTV's great, but MTV is important in pop culture.
Yeah.
It's important to the overall music conversation.
It's important to us.
Dave Holmes is great, and I am willing to consume any product that he puts out. I read his book.
Oh, I should do that.
I've listened to his past podcasts. Yeah. Sometimes I'm not on Twitter anymore. But I'll just look at his social media to see what he's talking about.
That's funny.
He writes for Esquire.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
I always like to read his essays that he writes for Esquire. Dave Holmes, one of my favorite pop culture dudes.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Those are shit. So,
and follow him on Spotify because he makes great playlists.
There you go. Like, I didn't know that.
Dave Holmes just rules all around.
Who killed the video star?
Yeah.
Question mark.
Good rec.
Yeah.
Good one. Okay, let's get down to our important business.
Let's get to the brass tacks.
It is a candy-eligible match.
Yes, it is.
So you are trying to shut me down.
I'm trying to deny you
candy. In the music trivia quiz in this episode. The music trivia quiz, of course, is the part of every mini episode when Kirk and I ask each other questions from the music-themed expansion to the board game Trivial Pursuit. All of these questions were published in 1985, which means all of these questions are about music only from before 1985, and that makes it a challenging quiz.
Very.
I have two wins in a row. If I win tonight, I win candy.
Sweet, sweets.
But since I'm defending my win, I'll ask you your questions first.
I will pick that.
Okay. Let's see. What rock philosopher produced Good Singing, Good Playing for Grand Funk Railroad?
Say it one more time.
What rock philosopher produced Good Singing, Good Playing for Grand Funk Railroad?
Rock philosopher.
Don't overthink that. I don't think that means anything. And this is like, if you don't know this, you're not going to guess it.
Yeah, but I'm just going to say Phil Spector.
Incorrect. That is the name that occurred to me, too. Because I guess when I hear rock producer,
I'm just going to think
Phil Spector.
What else would it be?
Frank Zappa.
Evidently,
Frank Zappa produced a Grand Funk Railroad
album. Evidently, people are calling him a philosopher?
Yeah, that's why I said I don't know what the fuck that means. Trivial Pursuit will screw you sometimes with their overly clever wording.
Yeah,
you
know? When they try too hard.
Yeah, and they make you think too hard.
Yeah.
Your mother should know. This is music from before 1950. What's demanded after the line, quote, choke him, poke him, kick him, and soak him?
Jesus Christ.
This is what your grandmother listened to.
Say it one more time, even though I'm not going to get it.
What's demanded after the line, choke him, poke him, kick him, and soak him?
And love him?
Nope. Hold that tiger.
That's the worst question ever.
No, your grandparents are listening to this now going, come on, you don't know
God
that.
Damn it, man.
Yeah. 1950s. What groundbreaking rock and roll number was recorded on April 12th, 1954? That makes its 70th anniversary tomorrow when we're recording this.
Wow.
At Manhattan's Pythian Temple.
One more time.
What groundbreaking rock and roll number was recorded on April 12th, 1954 at Manhattan's Pythian or Pythian Temple?
Roll Over Beethoven.
Rock Around the Clock.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, rock and roll is 70 years old.
Wow. It's dead.
Yeah, it kind of is. 1960s. What year did Little Stevie Wonder score his first number one?
God damn it. Fuck me. '63. God damn motherfucking shit.
All right. You still got two left.
Yeah, this is a rough one.
You've won with two before. What Mac Davis smash intones, quote, music is love. Love is music, if you know what I mean.
I know the name.
This is after the Beatles, so the 70s and early 80s.
I know Mac Davis by name. I know he did some acting.
Music is love. Love is music, if you know what I mean.
But they asking me the title?
Yes. What song has that lyric?
Music is love.
Mm-hmm. Love is music.
Music is love. Love is music.
Mm-hmm.
Love is.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't know what it is.
I believe in music.
Don't even know.
No, neither do I.
Oh, this is going to be a bagel. Fuck me.
You know what? I wouldn't have gotten any of these either.
Woof.
Here's your chance to not get shut out. The category is anything goes. And this is very guessable. Okay? What color wine was Always Elvis marketed after? I'm sorry. What color wine was Always Elvis marketed after his death by Italy's Frontignac Company? There was a wine that was called Always Elvis. They put that in italics, which confused me.
Yeah. Because
the name of a wine wouldn't be italicized. What color was the wine called
Always Red.
Elvis? It was white.
I was going to say white as a joke and be like, it's white because Elvis was fucking racist. But God damn it. Oh man, enjoy them sweet sweet candies.
Bagel. You know what? It's been a long time. It could still be a push. It could still very well be a push. I could also bagel.
Oh wow.
Which would really just be humiliating for both of us.
Yeah, we'd stop the pot.
So in a weird way, you should hope that I win.
I'm hoping that nothing happens. That was disgusting. Ooh, that was that's just a bad card.
It's my card.
All right.
I probably would have gotten a bagel too unless I just guessed right on that last 50-50 question.
Cover notes. Yeah. Who was voted?
Who was voted?
I'm just going to give you part questions. Oh, okay. You have to guess. Cover notes. Who was voted Billboard's most promising country and Western artist in 55?
There's a few names I could guess. I'm just going to say Elvis Presley.
You have moved on from candy eligible to candy in your face.
Candy. All right. So the whole rest of this is an expo mission?
Yeah, the whole rest.
Let me run the board and get 6 out of 6.
See, now that I hope for, since you already won. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Mom, what Iowa-born trumpeter is widely acclaimed as the first great white jazz musician?
Chet Baker?
Bix Biederbeck.
Big Spider Beck. Okay.
Okay. 50s. What do Mickey and Sylvia describe love as in the title of a 57 hit?
Oh, that's who the character's parody in A Mighty Wind, but I don't know what the actual song is.
Oh, that's right.
Mickey and Sylvia. What is the question again?
What do Mickey and Sylvia describe love as in the title of a 57 hit?
I'm just going to name the song from A Mighty Wind. A Kiss at the End of a Rainbow.
I love that song. Strange.
Oh, sure, sure, yes. Sure. Yeah.
60s. What cuddly creatures did Jim Morrison fondle at a notorious March 1st, 69 Miami concert?
His testicles?
A sheep?
I don't remember that.
I didn't know that either. All right. After Beatles, what disco queen teams with Barbara Streisand on No More Tears? Parenthetical, Enough is Enough. This is the only one I know.
I don't know. I'm just going to guess Donna Summer, but I can't imagine.
No, it's Donna Summers. It's a terrible song.
Donna Summers did a duet with Barbara Streisand?
Yeah, it's fucking awful.
I haven't gotten to that in Barbara's memoir yet.
Oh, you're never getting to that. Thing's like hundreds of pages long.
Yeah, I'm about, I had to return it, and so now I have another 6-week wait before I get it back from the library. So I'm about halfway through.
Wow. Yep. Nope. That was a big hit.
By the way, I'll report back when I finish it.
I can't wait.
But it's great.
Everyone I've heard says it's great. And yeah. I'm like, I don't like Barbara Streisand, but I feel like I should read it.
I don't like or dislike her. I don't know I didn't know anything about her. Yeah. She's just not part of my life, but she's awesome. I love her now.
Where are you at right now?
The 70s.
Have they talked about Guilty?
Not yet.
Okay. That's the only good song she has. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said it. All right. So you have 2 actually in this expo mission. Final one for par. Anything goes. What retired American diva became director of the New York City Opera?
Ugh. So they're probably using diva in the true sense, like
yes,
opera singer.
I will say that, yes.
And I have no idea.
Beverly Sills.
Never heard of her.
Didn't know that either. But you got candies.
For a second, I was like, diva. Okay, is it going to be Mariah?
Well, it could be Cher. We don't know. Cher.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I forgot that diva has a real meaning.
Yeah, exactly. That did mean something as opposed to what it means now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Back at candy.
Thanks. And I'm candy eligible again next time. But that's the end of this mini episode. Bye.
Bye.